Mark chapter 7. Ben's going to be speaking this week and next week, and we're starting in Mark chapter 7, verse 20. Jesus left that place, and he went and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrophoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down the Sea of Galilee, into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hands on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears, then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Epaphatha," which means, "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can we get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmatia.
Right, here we go then. If you have that in front of you, that would be really helpful if you can. In the Bible, it's page 1010, or it's in the service sheet. If you have that, you can follow along as well as we look at Mark. And Matt's already prayed, so I won't pray again. But how would you feel if I called you a dog? How do you feel about that? It's a pretty shocking thing to say, isn't it? Do you know that's what Jesus did? Jesus called a woman a dog. Did you hear that? That's what Jesus said in the passage we just read. Now, I hope Jesus is going to surprise you this afternoon. I hope he's going to shock you this afternoon. Because actually, he says this, but he says it out of love. And he says it with quite an amazing result. Think about dogs. Think about another animal. Have you heard the expression cash cow? Have you heard the expression a cash cow? Yeah? Nobody's heard that expression? Well, it comes from this model. Now, it's a bit of a boring model. It's a business model about like products and markets, okay? But here's the idea. You've got different markets and you've got different products, and the cash cows, they're really good. They're earning you loads and loads of money. Brilliant. At the moment. The stars, they're the future success. So you want to kind of invest all your money in your stars, you cash in your cash cows. But then there's the dogs. Now, nobody wants to invest in the dogs. They are useless products. They're not going to do anything. Now, that's a business model. still used today. But here we are thinking about dogs in Jesus's time. And in Jesus's time, people thought about people in the same way. Can you believe that? They did. People being dogs. Just before this passage, you'll have seen the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees, nice picture of them there. These were the most religious people that you could imagine. They thought that they were obviously God's target market, if you like, because they're like the stars, or they're like the cash cows. You know, God should really care about them. And that's because they kept so many rules and they kept so many traditions. They were very religious. They thought, well, we must be clean enough for God, surely, because of all this stuff that we do. But Jesus had said to them before our passage, he'd said, no, it's what comes out of a person that defiles them, that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of you. It's not what is outside that matters. It's what's going on inside that comes out of you. You can't just get clean by kind of polishing up the outside with loads of nice religion and traditions, even keeping loads of rules, because of what's going on inside. And what that means is that everyone, even those guys, are unclean. And you and me too. All of us, because of what's going on inside. No matter how religious, no matter how many good works that you do, that's what Jesus had said to these really religious guys. And so what he's saying to them is, you guys who think you're Jesus's, you think you're God's target market, actually, you're not. You can't be. Because you need to receive a new heart from God. And that's what Jesus is offering you. And you don't want it. And so they're cutting themselves out. They're not the stars. They're not the cash cows. It's pretty shocking for the Pharisees already. And then in our passage, Jesus goes on and he's even more shocking. Because Jesus goes somewhere very shocking. He goes to Quickfit Land, the region of Tyre. Do you like it? Yeah, that's right. The region of Tyre. The region of Tyre is, it's a Gentile area, okay? It's a non-Jewish area. It's an unclean area, the Pharisees thought. Have a look at this map. Here you go. Jesus goes from the bottom of the map up to the top of the map, to the region of Tyre. It's far away. It's a Gentile, non-Jew area. And what does he do? He goes into a house. Ah! He goes into a house in an unclean area? How could he do this? Pharisees would never do that. And just listen. Just listen to the contrast of what he finds there compared to the Pharisees. This is what he finds. It's verse 25, if you're following along. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. As soon as she heard about him, she comes and falls at his feet. And just in case you missed the point of who she is, the next verse. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. She's a Greek. She's not a Jew. She's the people the Pharisees said are unclean. She is the most unlikely target market you could imagine for God, so the Pharisees thought. She doesn't keep any traditions. She doesn't even know them. She doesn't keep all of the rules. But she's desperate. Her world's falling apart. Her daughter's in dire straits. And where the Pharisees, they'd heard all about Jesus, they had, but they just wanted to criticize his words. None of that with her. She hears of Jesus. She runs to him. She falls at his feet. She's begging. She's desperate. And then comes the really shocking bit. Because Jesus has a test for her. And it is meant to be shocking. It's verse 27. Jesus says, "First let the children eat all they want," he told her. "For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Do you hear that? Dogs. Now, Jesus is probably quoting a saying of the time. Now, the saying probably went something like, you know, the children obviously have to eat food first before you give it to dogs. Obviously, that's the way around, isn't it? So your children eat before you kind of throw the scraps to the dogs. Obviously. But the Gentiles were known by the Jews as dogs. That's what they called them, meaning unclean, not fit for God. And the Jews, they called themselves children. Obviously, I mean, they're Abraham's children. So they were God's children. And that meant that they thought that the bread was theirs, the bread of God's kingdom, life with him. And Jesus is having a little test here. And he's saying, you know, unclean people, they don't deserve the kingdom, do they? You know, unclean people, they're not entitled to God, are they? What's your reaction, Syrophoenician woman? And her reaction is amazing, isn't it? She's not shocked. She's actually hopeful. She's heard about Jesus. She knew something of his goodness. And then she hears what he says. First, let the children eat all they want. And she grasps hold of that word, first. And she thinks, aha, but there could be a second, couldn't there? There could be a second. And she seizes this hope and she says, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She's saying, yes, I am a dog. Yes, I am a dog. I am unclean. I am helpless. But all I want, Jesus, is crumbs. That's all I want. I'm not entitled. I just want mercy. Now, in the Church of England, this is where we get these words called the words of humble access. When we have the Lord's Supper, we say something like, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. They're good words. They come from what she said. They're brilliant words. Just want crumbs. Just want mercy. And of course, she starts it all off by calling Jesus Lord. Lord. She trusts in Jesus as the one who can give her mercy if he chooses to. He's got authority to do that. You see, Jesus coming has changed absolutely everything, and this woman just senses it. It's no longer just the Jews who are welcomed. They are welcomed to trust in Jesus, but it's not just them. There's a glimmer of hope for everyone, for the non-Jews, for the Gentiles. She's heard of Jesus, and she knows there is hope in Jesus. Now, the Pharisees, they rejected God's words. They trusted their own performance instead of what Jesus was saying. But she accepts Jesus' words. She accepts this idea that she's nothing, but she also accepts mercy. Now, maybe we feel very keenly ourselves not entitled to relating to God. Maybe you feel that. I don't feel like I can relate to God, let alone being in his kingdom forever. Maybe you know how much you failed. You failed God, and you've shut him out, as I have done, all of us have done. Well, this is great news. This is great news for you, because Jesus has changed everything. All we need is to humbly accept, like this woman did, humbly accept his offer of forgiveness, and it's ours. Jesus says, for such a reply, you may go, the demon has left your daughter. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus rescues her daughter. Jesus rescues those who come to him knowing that we're not entitled. We're helpless. God's love extends even to you, even to me, even to that woman, because of Jesus. So our children were being naughty the other day, as they often are, and I was a bit cross with them. And I found myself saying something really, really surprising to Jemima, who's five. I found myself saying, "Mima, I love you, even when you're naughty." Even though I was cross. Felt a bit odd saying that, frankly, because that's not how we relate to people normally, is it? Normally, we give people what they deserve. And right then, she deserved the naughty corner. But it wasn't because Mima was entitled to my love. It wasn't because Mima was entitled to my grace. She was entitled to the naughty corner. But I wanted to give her my love. And that is God's heart for you. And through Jesus, God can do that for you because Jesus took that punishment that you are entitled to, that you do deserve. He took it on the cross so that we can have the forgiveness we are not entitled to. In fact, we can have the very thing only his son is entitled to. We can have the kingdom forever. Jesus coming changes everything. And you are hearing about him now, just like this woman had heard about him. However much of an outsider you are, so come, come and turn back to God and trust in Jesus for his mercy, and you can be in his kingdom just like this woman. The Syrophoenician woman could do that, and you can do that. It's wonderful. Now, maybe you're really familiar with all these ideas. Yes, we know, obviously, Jesus is not just for the Jews. He's for the Gentiles, the non-Jews. But actually, you know, it's really surprising because from Adam and Eve onwards, the beginning of the Bible, every one of us has rebelled against God. Every single one of us. We all want to be Lord of our own lives, not God. Now, God, by sheer grace and mercy, chose Abraham. He didn't have to, but he did. And he promised Abraham that his descendants could be his people. They weren't entitled to. He just chose them. It was grace. It was mercy. But then along comes Jesus, and it seems to change again, because now even total outsiders, people not related to Abraham at all, can be God's people, you and me, Gentiles, people you'd least expect. It's great news. And it's great news for people we'd least expect as well. Maybe it makes you think about your colleagues at work. Maybe it makes you think about your wider family, the people you'd least expect to be God's people. It makes me think of Cowley, where we're starting this church plant. We're not starting in TK Maxx, but we're starting it quite nearby. Now, on many measures, the people in Cowley are different to me. Maybe they're different to you as well. And yet, on one thing, they are very similar to me. And to you, they are total outsiders. And just like you and me, they are not entitled to God's mercy. And yet, could it be that if they hear about Jesus, like this woman, they might not reject Jesus' words, like the Pharisees rejected his words. They might just be as humble as this woman, knowing they're not entitled. Isn't that exciting to think they might? It's very exciting. Mark, in his gospel, is showing us very clearly that total outsiders can come in and be God's people because of Jesus. And the rest of the passage we're going to deal with very quickly, because basically it's the same thing going on. Mark could have chosen anything next, anything he liked to put in his account of Jesus. But what does he choose? He chooses all the way around to the bottom of the map. So Jesus has gone from the bottom to the top. And then the very next thing, he's all the way around at the bottom again. Why does Mark wait that long? Well, because in Decapolis are a whole load of outsiders as well, a whole load of non-Jews. He goes to another Gentile area, and there's a man who's deaf, and he can't talk. And Jesus He puts his fingers in the man's ears. He spits, and he touches the tongue. You've got to do the noise because the children really love that bit when you tell them the story. They love that spitting bit. And then the man hears, outsiders they're hearing, and people just can't keep their tongues still. Verse 36, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. You see, outsiders hear, and they respond when the insider Pharisees didn't do either. And just to prove it, Mark records another thing that happened in a Gentile area. Seems like a very familiar thing, which is chapter 8. Loads of Gentiles are gathering, all hearing about Jesus, 4,000 of them. And what's Jesus' attitude to them? Chapter 8, verse 2. I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And Jesus, he feeds 4,000 people miraculously. He's just got 7 loaves and a few small fish. Now, I reckon I'd eat that in a day. You know, that'd be a snack for me, frankly. I eat quite a lot of food. But he feeds 4,000 people with that. Now, we can tell from this that Jesus is amazing. We can tell that he's the Son of God. But Mark writes it so that it parallels the feeding of the 5,000, the one we all know about that happened before this. He writes it in exactly the same way. Now, the feeding of the 5,000, that was 5,000 people in a Jewish area. Here he is feeding 4,000 people in a non-Jewish area. The idea is that outsiders can come now through Jesus. And it's even more exciting. Because do you remember what the woman asked for from Jesus? Do you remember what she asked for? She asked for crumbs, didn't she? What does she get? What do her people get from Jesus? Not crumbs. They get loads of bread. Loads and loads and loads of bread. Abundant bread. So much bread, they have enough to eat, and they've got 7 basketfuls left over. Now, when Jesus fed 5,000 people, there were 12 basketfuls left over, probably representing 12 tribes of Israel, all of God's people. Here, 7 basketfuls left over, probably like it means sort of totality, perfection, the whole lot, all of God's people. It's pretty big, whatever it was. Friends, I wonder if we've just lost the surprise of this, of how generous God is to us in Jesus. I wonder if we've lost the surprise for ourselves, actually. We're all unclean outsiders, not just symbolically, but really. For Jesus to wipe the slate clean, that would be generous. But this is Jesus offering us abundant bread, abundant life in his kingdom. It's remarkable. You and I are that hopelessly unattractive target market. You and I are the dogs. The business consultants, they laugh at this idea. Target the dogs? What are you doing? But that's what God does in Jesus. If you have grown distant from God and you feel a failure, you don't have to. Just remember the surprise of who Jesus' target market is. People who knew they were not entitled and yet trusted in God's mercy through Jesus. Dare I say, have joy at being a dog. Remember that. A dog who God welcomes into his kingdom forever. I wonder if we've lost that surprise for ourselves. I wonder if we've lost that surprise for other people. Jesus says, I have compassion for these people. In Cowley Parish, where the church plant is going to be, there are over 20,000 people. And just like you and me, they're not entitled to God's kingdom. And yet, just like you and me, they are welcomed in. And for some people who know they're not keenly, know very keenly they're not entitled, Well, actually, sometimes it's those very people who don't kind of have all the respectability you might think, just like the Syrophoenician woman. Sometimes it's those people who find it easy to see they're not entitled and will come for mercy. What if they get to hear of Jesus, the Son of God, who came to Quickfit Land to find unclean people? I'm praying that many people in Cowley would be surprised by that, or even shocked by that. Please join me in praying that. And as you pray for that, who knows, maybe you'll find you have a heart for Cowley or for people around you who are lost. I am a dog. It's a pretty shocking thing to say. And you are too. Also pretty shocking. So are the people in Cowley. But Jesus' target market is dogs. And I'd rather be a dog in his kingdom than a Pharisee outside. And if you would too, then be happy. You can be. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this shocking thing that Jesus seeks out people like us, people who are totally unclean, people who are not deserving and not entitled, and he gives us mercy. Father, thank you so much for this. Please help us to grab hold of that mercy for ourselves, and please help us to long for others we know to grab hold of that mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.